It's just so good to serve a risen Savior. And as a matter of fact, as I was praying about what to share with you, I felt that I should kind of go from where we've been the last number of weeks. And so we're going to start with Romans 12. This should be a familiar verse for everyone. And we'll kind of see where we go from here. And so the word says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Wonder why he chose bodies. You know, I mean, we're spiritual beings, right? We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Why didn't he say our spirit or our mind? I mean, there has to be some significance with that, right? But anyway, he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just, in essence, saying it's really not a big deal that you're asking for it. But I want to focus on verse 2 this morning. It goes on to say, and do not be conformed to this world. Don't allow chaos and selfishness squeeze you, mold you, shape you into how you live your life. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is so easy for folks living in this world to allow the culture and the society to mold and shape you. We've got this little box in most of our homes. We call it a television. And regardless of how you feel about that, that media maker is probably the number one thing that shapes the culture of America. And whether you agree with our new president or not, that's really kind of immaterial. He has said some very interesting things, and I'm going to try to stay away from those things. But reality is, the things that we allow to touch our lives shapes our lives. The people that we allow into our lives shapes our lives. That's important. That's another message by itself. But the scripture goes on to admonish us, not only don't allow the world to shape you, but gives us a positive admonition, and that is, however, I want you to let your mind be renewed so that your life is transformed. That's what I want to focus on this morning, is what does it mean to have a renewed mind? I can tell you what happened to me. When I gave my life to Christ, I had an awesome salvation experience. Of course, it took a lot of time. Heidi came to faith, I don't know, a couple years, maybe 3 years before I came to faith. I sat through a lot of services just like this. Well, I slept through a lot of services just like this. But I can tell you that if you're in the atmosphere, and what a wonderful atmosphere that we experienced this morning, wasn't it? I mean, awesome, awesome time of worship. As a matter of fact, we could have just kept on going, and I think that we all would have said amen, I finally bowed a knee before Christ, and one of the things that I noticed was immediately my want-tos changed. I was really far from being perfect in those days, because you cannot live, and I was about 30 years old, you can't live 30 years in this world, surrounded by this world's culture and society and not be shaped. And I was very shaped because I had spent 4 years in the Army. Had a lot of words that had to drop out of my vocabulary. I had a lot of battles in my mind, in my brain, because I was a very hormone-filled young man at age 19 when we got married, and that didn't change a lot in the early years, and so I had a lot of things that had been put into my mind that I had to get rid of. That's why the scripture speaks of having your mind renewed. As a matter of fact, in the book of Ephesians and in the book of Colossians, both of them speak to this. It says, put off the old, let your mind be renewed, and put on the new man. And I could tell you, folks, that that's not a one-time event. We're talking about having your mind renewed daily, which means that the Holy Spirit wants us to continue to be changed. And, you know, when I mention Holy Spirit, that's a whole different element, because when I gave my life to a Christ, I mean, I heard people speaking in tongues, and I wanted everything that God had. You know what I'm talking about? And so I said, you know, after coming to faith, I said, okay, now I want to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I am a scholar just by nature, so I started reading books. Okay, this is how you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And these are hindrances to being filled with the Holy Spirit. So after every church gathering that I was a part of, I would ask people, you know, to come and lay hands on me and pray. And I couldn't understand why I wasn't getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I started again in my studies, and I'm saying, okay, oh, maybe I've got this over here. This is a hindrance. Maybe I've got... I felt like I had every single hindrance to being filled with the Holy Spirit. But I wanted it, you see, because my mind has been renewed, and I wanted everything that God had. And so what I would do is, after dinner, I would go downstairs in the basement. We had a nice concrete floor basement. I would go downstairs in the basement by myself. I would get on my knees, and I would cry out to God, God, I want this. I want everything. And this went on not for days or weeks. This went on for months. But God honors a hungry soul. And one day when I was traveling to work, we lived in Brookfield then, I was traveling over to Westport to work, I was listening to one of the oldies stations, you know, and I was in high school in the 60s, so I was listening to some 60s music, and I was singing along, and all of a sudden I found myself singing in a language I did not know. So, I mean, it's great. If you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, go for it, okay? But understand this also, that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you for you. But the Holy Spirit comes upon you for us. That's key. It talks about, I don't want to get ahead of myself. We'll just keep traveling here, okay? Now, after your mind is renewed and your life is transformed, then the scripture says then you can begin to prove, okay, what God's will is. How many want God's will for your life? Okay, good crowd. Okay, now God's will really is easily seen in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus, and this was Jesus' idea, all right, so it's probably good. Jesus said, pray this way, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, how many know that there's no sickness in heaven? Right? Huh? Right? Right? There's no pain. Heaven is perfect. It's perfect based upon God's will. Jesus was saying, when you pray, okay, pray that what's done in heaven is done on earth because that's God's will. So that should be our focus, right? God's will is that we bring what's in heaven down to earth. That should be our desire. That should be our focus. One of our jobs, as a matter of fact, is to show people what God is actually like. Most people don't know. You know, they've got this picture of an old man with a big stick who's just waiting for someone to mess up so he can clunk them. And of course, we know, and we even sing the song that God's a good father, right? And we understand that. But most people who have really not experienced Christ, they don't understand that. We need to show people that God's kingdom can be manifest on this earth. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, I think it's verse 7, he was talking to his disciples, and he said, when you go out, he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and cleanse lepers. I think he said that, right? Why didn't he say pray for the sick? I'll just let you deal with that. But he said that they were to heal the sick. Now, I understand, I know that everyone would say, well, only God can heal. All right, I don't have an issue with that. But what I believe is that Scripture will paint out for us that it requires once the Holy Spirit is upon us, then things change. So then what we have is, well, let's just use Jesus as the example. That's a pretty good example, right? Now, when most people think about Jesus healing and raising the dead, they think, of course, he's God, right? Which then puts everyone at rest. But Scripture tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus emptied himself of divinity and took upon himself the form of a man. So Jesus emptied himself of divinity and took on humanity. So then when Jesus went down to the waters of baptism, John put him under the waters, and the Scripture says that when Jesus came up out of the waters, right, it says the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a what? Dove. And the Scripture said, and rested on him. Is that true? Doves are really skittish animals. Really, really sensitive. If I had a dove sitting on my shoulder, and I wanted the dove to remain, what would I have to do? I mean, if I had a dove on my shoulders and I wanted to climb up these steps, all of my focus would be on the dove. If I want the dove to remain, then every step I take has to have a focus on the dove. Is there anybody here that would like the Holy Spirit to rest on you and remain? It's a challenge. living in this world and walking with the dove. That means that I need to be cautious with what I allow to surround me. Those of us that have Dish TV, this is a weekend for a free HBO, Showtime, and Cinema. And I love free things. So I'm going through what is being offered. And so many of those things are R-rated. It is so amazing to me. And so I'm flipping through and I hear this little voice that's on my right shoulder. That little voice says, "Would you watch that if Jesus was sitting beside you?" Okay. I mean, I love action movies. I do. I have to admit. But so many of those action movies includes language. And then the Holy Spirit said, "Okay, would you watch that movie if your grandkids were sitting next to you?" No. It's protecting the dove. Because I have seen miracles in my life. And I consider myself blessed. But most people, when they see a miracle, they consider it to be kind of a temporary thing, you know, that, okay, you know, and life goes on. I'm going to tell you, from my perspective, when I see a miracle, it's a divine experience that has now propelled me to have a higher expectation. When we go into a restaurant, I mean, I remember Chris saying that now, when he's going out, when he goes for coffee or something, you know, he's actively looking for an opportunity to engage someone in the kingdom of God. That's good, okay? When we go to restaurants, okay, I'm sitting there and I immediately say, "Okay, Father, you know, is there something that you'd like to express to our hostess?" And we've had the privilege on several occasions. I love it when our granddaughter Heidi Rose goes with us, because as a matter of fact, the last time we went to a restaurant, went to the diner over here in Cromwell, and great hostess, you know. And that's one of those moments. I said, "Father, you know," and Father kind of dropped something in my heart, you know. And so when she came back over, I asked her about her daughter, and I didn't know if she had one or not. I was kind of hoping that she did, and she said, "Oh yeah, I've got one." And so I expressed something to her, and she just froze, and tears started rolling down her face. And then I encouraged her some, and then she left. And Heidi Rose looked at me with big eyes and said, "That was really good, Grandpa." I said, "That was really the Holy Spirit, Heidi Rose." And when we had our prayer meeting of last time, Heidi went home with me afterwards, and Heidi said, "Grandpa, when we were praying, I kind of felt like tears was falling on me, and there was no one around me." He says, "You think God cries?" I said, "Maybe." I said, "Maybe an angel." I said, "Grandpa, have you ever seen an angel?" I said, truthfully, no. I said, Grandma has. So we got to find out about that. This is what you want to sow into your kids and your grandkids. But folks, that means that you're going to have to let the dove rest. You're going to have to let the Holy Spirit become more than just the Holy Ghost. Come on now. The world is waiting to see what's impossible for us. Come on. If we became extremely evangelistic and were extremely successful in outreaches and built, you know, the biggest church in town and numbers just grew and grew. But if it really only because we have a charismatic pastor and evangelism team and great administration and wonderful financial planning, just patting ourselves on the back and saying, isn't God good? That's nothing. If we're only undertaking things that are possible for us to do because we can do them, we don't need God. And I read somewhere that if He is lifted up, He'll draw all men. As I've gotten older, what I'm trying to say is, I'm not satisfied just doing things that I know that I can do. You know what that means? We're going to have to take risks. I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you how many people that you shared faith with over the last week, month, or year. Why don't we? Because we're afraid. We're afraid that somebody will reject us. Somebody even might make a face at us. But reality is this. If we want the dove, that's not in my notes. Let me show you an example of what can happen if you're concerned about the dove resting on you. Now, understand, I'm going to show you just a little video here. This is not a professional minister, okay? This is someone just like you and me, okay? Let's see what we got.
Well, one night when I was living in Reading, I got off working at a restaurant, and like any other 23-year-old, I have a fifth meal and about 10:30 at night, and went over to a grocery store to go get some donuts. And I was walking in, I was passing by the cash register, and this lady was paying for her groceries, and I saw that she had hearing aids, and I thought, it's always a green light when you see crutches, people in wheelchairs, hearing aids. Just go up and ask if you pray for them. So I approached the lady, asked her, hey, can I pray for you really quick? And she's like, oh, that'd be nice. And then she starts leaving. I'm like, no, like right now, can I pray for you? And she's like, okay, why not? And I say, hey, why don't you just take out your hearing aids so we can see if God does anything, we'll know, we can see a difference right away. And so she takes out her hearing aids, we begin to pray for her. And the cash register girl, the cashier lady, she's watching the whole thing, unfold. And we begin to pray for her. And I said, okay, I'm gonna take a couple steps back. You just repeat after me if you could hear me. And so, she's, facing the other direction, and I'm taking steps back, like, hello, my name's Chad, my favorite food's pizza and donuts. And she's repeating this till I get about 25 feet away, and she realizes that she has full hearing. She actually has better hearing than the cashier has. And the cashier is, like, in her late, teens, early 20s. And so she starts crying because her ears opened up. She was 90% deaf in one ear, 80% deaf in the other. And the cashier lady is crying as well. And suddenly, right when that happens, I just feel this wind on the back of my neck, and I get downloaded with all these words of knowledge of what God wants to do in the grocery store. And, you know, I didn't have this. I was just going in there hungry. I didn't have this before. And so I go to the cashier, and I say, this is totally God. This isn't me. I mean, God just totally, you know, opened this girl's ears. But God wants to do more in this grocery store. Is it all right if I get on the intercom and just share, you know, and call out some words of knowledge? And she's all, yeah. So she shows me how to use it. I say, attention all shoppers. You know, God is in the building. And I begin to just tell what God's doing. And I had a lady that got healed, she shared what happened to her. And so I just started calling out words of knowledge, said, come to checkout 10. People started gathering around, about 20, 25 people. And it was amazing. And this one lady came with a motorized car and said, do you think God could really heal me? And I said, of course God can heal you. He's the healer. So I began to just explain a little bit about the gospel, about healing, signs and wonders. And then I had the lady that just got healed from her ears pray with me. And I said, this is, you know, Matthew 10, 7, and 8. You know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The sick get healed. The dead get raised. Freely receive and freely give. And it was her time to give away the kingdom when she just received it earlier. So we began to pray together. And I asked the lady in the motorized cart. She was getting prayer for her hip. She is going in for a hip replacement surgery. And she moves her hip a little bit. And she goes, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, like, is she in pain? And that's what I'm thinking in my head. And I asked her, what's going on? And she's like, that used to hurt before. And I said, okay, we'll try to do something else. So she gets up. She begins to walk and then go into this little jog. She begins to scream out, Jesus has just healed me. Jesus just healed me. The whole place goes crazy. They all start, like, you know, hooting and hollering. I mean, this isn't like a church. This isn't checkout aisle 10. And this guy in the back starts pushing people. And I'm thinking, this guy is coming to, like, beat me up. He has a problem with this. I don't know. So he's shaking his, like, fist at me. And he gets up to me, and I'm, like, getting ready to defend myself. And he says, my wrist, I have carpal tunnel in my wrist. I've had him for 2 years. Will you please pray for me? And I said, of course. And I said, you know, while I'm praying for you, why don't you just move it around just to see if something, you know, shifts or changes? He's moving around. He goes, oh, my gosh, they're on fire. They're on fire. I'm like, well, that's good. They're, you know, heat's a good thing. And so he's like, oh my gosh, there's no more pain. He starts crying, and he begins to explain to me that he plays the piano, he teaches, and he performs, and that's how he makes his money, and he's been in total pain doing this. And now they don't hurt anymore, and he was coming into the grocery store tonight saying, wouldn't it be great if all the pain in my wrist left today? And so I decided, hey, you know, the kingdom just showed up. It'd be a good idea to introduce the king. And so I just told everybody, you know, Jesus didn't just die on the cross for these people to get healed, but to have a personal relationship with you, and that you could be best friends with the creator of the universe. And just gave a real simple gospel message, and I said, who wants that? Who wants to be best friends with the creator of the universe? And people's hands just came up, and I just led them to the Lord, prayed for them, and I walked out on cloud 9 for getting my donuts, but it was a fun night.
That could be you. I mean, why not? I mean, here's a young guy. He was just hungry. He went to a store just to get some donuts. It's not, you know, and it's not rocket science. But what it is risk. And risk just means that you love your Savior enough that you'll take a chance. I mean, when I spoke to the waitress with Heidi Rose there, I didn't know if she had a daughter or not. She could have said, I don't have a daughter. It's always a possibility. And if so, oh, well, I'm sorry. I guess I made a mistake. Life goes on. But until you take a risk, until you step out in faith, oh, that's right. We are supposed to be faith people. Okay, well, let's see what else. All right. John 20, 21, 22. Jesus told them, again, peace be with you. Just the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and told them, receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. This was when Jesus was ready to depart. Okay. He knew that he was going back to the Father. All right. I found that I found it fascinating that his final encounter, okay? As a matter of fact, John 16, 17, and 18, that's the Last Supper where they were having conversations. And so Jesus is getting ready to leave. Jesus didn't say, oh, by the way, I want you to heal people, or I want you to cast out demons. Instead, the very last thing, the final thing that he did with his disciples was, he said, here, receive the Holy Spirit. Because for that three and a half years, he was there, he was the covering, he was the anointing, and he didn't want to leave them comfortless. So he gave them the comforter. Huh? All right. Let's go on. I don't want to take too long with this. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. This is one of my favorite verses. It says, we're told we have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. Oh, isn't that good to know? You already have everything that you need to live the life. It was all given to us by God's own power when we learned that he had invited us to share in his wonderful goodness. God made great and marvelous promises so that his nature would become part of, wow. Then we could escape our evil desires, that's good, and the corrupt influences of this world. This is so, so critical, okay? We've got everything that we need, and God has given power. Now, remember what Jesus told the disciples before he left? I mean, he had already given them authority, right? He said, I've given you authority to pick up serpents and do all these things. But he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and tarry until you've received power. And what was the manifestation of that power in the upper room? I mean, the Holy Spirit came, right? The Holy Spirit fell. So Jesus had already given them authority, right? He'd already filled them with the Holy Spirit. That comes at the point of salvation, right? How many are saved? Okay, all right, all right. So you have the Holy Spirit right now living on the inside of you. You have authority. However, you need to receive power, and that's when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's why I'm trying to really hammer home the point that we need to invite and we need to encourage, we need the Holy Spirit to rest upon us. If we're going to see folks healed, folks delivered, if we're going to see that, then we need the Holy Spirit resting upon us. Well, I know that there are gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I understand all of that. But the scripture says, even though there is the gift of prophecy, it says all may prophesy. I mean, the gifts are not limited. I have prayed for folks that are ill and they have gotten well. I've prayed for a lot of folks that haven't. I don't let the haven'ts stop me from praying. Once you have an experience, that experience can never be taken from you. Once I received Christ as my Savior, it was so dynamic that no devil in hell could ever convince me that I didn't have the experience. The first time that I led someone to Christ, I wasn't a minister in those days. I was a corporate executive. I hired a temporary employee. On day By day two, I could see this woman has a lot of trouble. I invited her to come into my office at lunch, and I said, hey, you don't look very happy. She gave me a long story. I said, I've got a solution for you. I'd only been saved 6 or 7 months. I didn't know a lot. But I said, let me tell you what I experienced. Folks come to faith by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. That's all that you need. I shared with her what I had experienced. I asked her, would you like the same? She said, oh, yeah. I have never met anyone more receptive since then. Everything since then has been really a challenge, but she accepted Christ, and we were living in Brookfield then. It was 6 or 7 years later, we had joined another church in Waterbury, and lo and behold, that same woman came as a visitor and I had a chance to meet her, and I said, how have you been? And she said, I mean, long, long story. She's gotten married, had kids, life is good, and it's all because of she. You never know. So you need to do what your pastor does, and that is you go into situations with an expectation that this could be the moment that you were created. Such a time as this. Now, you know that after hearing this message, you're going to have some opportunities this week. Guarantee it. Of course, you may have to turn off television, put the Game Boy away. Particularly if you want the dove. As a matter of fact, you'll know by next Sunday how badly that you want to host the dove. I really believe that, I mean, we've had some tremendous times of worship the last several Sundays. I really think that that's a posturing, that that's a positioning.